Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show. This person, his name is Turd Ferguson.
Where's he from?
I think Turd is a Scottish name.
Oh, is it?
I think so.
You think?
I gotta look that up.
How do you think they say it?
Turd.
Say it again. How was the accent?
Turd.
Do you think that there's a name for when Ferguson? People can't do accents? Do you think there's a word for that?
Bad.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach Trip Lanier.
Does your BS meter keep you from having a spiritual life? Are mystical experiences just our brain chemicals fooling us to believe we have a connection with God? And is spirituality something you can cultivate on your own? Or do you have to depend on a tradition or guru? Today, my wife Allison and I talk about religion, spirituality, and just how common it is to wrestle with this stuff. I share a bit about my own messy journey, as well as what it may look like to forge your own path on your own terms. Now, if some of these ideas are helpful for you, then great. And if they don't align with your views, then just toss them aside. Will you close that door, please?
You always tell me to get out. I got my pillow. I got my right spot right here.
Mm. I'm going to get you a tiara that you can wear when we do these shows. And you could just thank you, Your Grace. Are you ready for today's question?
We're starting.
Yeah, we're starting.
Sure.
Unless you want to banter some more.
I like bantering.
What do you want to banter about?
Find out why you're depressed.
You mean that's not banter? That's therapy.
That's not therapy. I'm not serious. I just want to make fun of you in some way.
I think waiting just, for you to throw it's me just something. Kind of like the. I want something fun. I want something fun.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like just that, getting into that mode.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have some fun stuff coming up, but it doesn't feel real. It feels like it's far away.
It's crazy.
Well, are we done bantering? You want to banter?
Well, I like banter.
I don't like you. Banter doesn't mean therapy for me.
I know. I'm not talking about therapy. I was just asking how you're doing.
Oh, I think what I want, just getting into this, I'll be better.
That's a sad sign when you say things like that.
Maybe I'll just cry for a little while.
I'll just look at Instagram and then I'll be better.
I gave up Instagram.
Watch YouTube for a bit and I'll be better.
I gave up the Instagram.
You did.
Maybe that's why I'm depressed.
Maybe that's why you're depressed.
No puppies.
Maybe that's why no tits.
No boobs. No butts. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal.
I think there might be
the puppies.
Because you talked about, what did you talk about? Fun or aliveness or something just now?
I'm depressed because
you are not getting
a thousand
little dopamine hits or whatever it is a day.
I'm not getting that anymore.
No.
I didn't, and I've not missed it. But now it's occurring to me that maybe I do miss I did laugh. There was a lot of funny stuff on there.
Yeah. And you also saw a lot of things that you that your brain's like, ooh.
Yeah.
Guitars, cars, girls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jets.
Jets. Yeah.
Lots of jets.
Puppies.
Puppies.
Yeah.
I like hearing young kids speak in foreign accents.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of foreign. This person, his name is Turd Ferguson.
Where's he from?
I think Turd is a Scottish name.
Oh, is it?
I think so.
You think?
I gotta look that up.
How do you think they say it?
Turd.
Say it again. How was the accent?
Turd.
Do you think that there's a name for when Ferguson? People can't do accents? Do you think there's a word for that?
Bad,
like something Asia or some type of ism or something. If you don't know how to,
oh, I thought you said Asia is like a continent.
No, like you know, dysplasia or you know.
All right, this is Turd. He drives his job. He says he's a driver of an AI powered doggy daycare bus. He drives around and he uses AI to pick up dogs and take them to daycare.
Like driverless. Cars?
I don't know how
AI. You know what is interesting to me? You're getting a lot of AI community questions. Have you noticed that?
These people are very forward thinking. They're ahead of the wave.
And so does that mean that like they picked your podcast because your podcast is the new man? So it's like also ahead of the wave?
I didn't think about that because this beard.
Do you think that that's why all the AI people are?
Like fucking old with this beard.
Your beard looks good. Don't be cracking on your beard.
I'm glad you like it. So he sounds, what's going on over there?
I got a wedgie. I got to move my wedgie.
Private moment. Okay. He says, I grew up going to church, but as I got older, I realized it didn't work for me anymore. I would do this in a Scottish accent.
I think you should. I think you should.
I grew up.
Grew.
You do the little tap of the R at the top of the. This is going to be hell to listen to, by the way.
What?
Okay. I grew up going to church. Okay.
Say it in the accent first, and then you can say it in English accent next. Because I think it's really fun.
This is going nowhere fast.
It's fun. People are smiling as they listen to this. Yeah, it's really fun.
But when I do hear somebody with a Scottish accent, I get really excited. I'm like, oh, wow, here's a Scot.
Which is why I think you should try it in the accent right now.
Here's a Scot.
Try the question.
I grew up going to church, but as I got older, I realized it didn't work for me anymore. That's not how he sounds. That said, I still feel like I want a spiritual life, but the idea of going to a church doesn't appeal to me. And I don't want to do hippie woo-woo stuff or end up in a cult. Good for you on the cult stuff.
Yeah.
He says, that's just not for me. I'm tired of feeling this way. It's frustrating. And I don't really know anyone else who is dealing with this. I hear you guys, he's talking about us now. I hear you guys talk about spirituality from time to time, but you don't sound like religious or hippie woo-woo types. And essentially he's just like, am I the only guy dealing with this? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great question, bud.
It's a great question. And Turd is definitely not the only, I can't believe it. Turd is definitely not the only one.
That's probably more Dutch. Turd.
That's the next little chit chat riff we need to have where we're not talking about something serious.
This is a serious question.
You keep deflecting.
Excuse me.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I was busy imagining this in the accent. So essentially he said that he grew up in the church, in a church, religious sort of indoctrination somehow, something. He didn't say what, but he, at some point in his life, it stopped working for him.
Yes.
But he misses it somehow. Is that right? Is that what I heard?
I heard that, he doesn't, he wants a spiritual life, he said.
Oh, okay.
And, but he doesn't, it does, the church or religion, I should say, doesn't call to him. And, but then also the idea of being what he calls a hippie or woo-woo type of, that doesn't appeal to him. And then he's also, I kind of got that he's wary of ending up in a cult, like some kind of guru kind of a thing. Sure. Those tend to be the places.
Yeah.
The options for folks.
Absolutely. And I that's totally respectable fears and concerns. And
I want to start off like, I don't have a problem with people going to church or anything. It's really easy to shit on.
Do you have
a
problem with people going to cults?
Yes. but if that works for folks, I'm all for it. I it's really easy to shit on people who are religious. And I don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. It is easy. There's been a lot of wounding, I think. And I have one of my best friend, actually. She's like, nope, it's not just hurt and wounding. It's trauma. Like, she's fully.
Yeah. If it doesn't work for you and it doesn't, if it's traumatizing you, then by all means, like a cult, get out.
Yeah. Right.
But if for a lot of people, it gives them a lot of fellowship.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah.
Community.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of beautiful
really
things.
Lovely. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's fair to lump it all together.
I agree. I totally agree. And first thing, you know, just to underscore, he is definitely not alone.
No.
And that's, this is something that I think is really important to try to consider. Anybody listening, pretty much anything you have going on, you can be sure that other people have it going on too.
Yeah.
That's just a fact. It can feel really isolating, though, because it's hard to talk about, because it is nuanced and people don't necessarily want to shit on religion, but there's a lot of people that do. And so I get that he might feel stuck in a place where he doesn't necessarily want to turn to some clergy person, and he doesn't want to turn to somebody that maybe, you know, is throwing their fingers up at the church as well. So, at religion. So that's important to name. That feels important to name.
Yeah. Because there's these two worlds. I think it occurs to me, and this was true for me when I was growing up, which was, I didn't grow up with religion. I grew up in the South with a lot of religion around. I mean, there was a church every quarter mile or less than that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they were right next door to each other. And, but I did grow up thinking like you either believed in that world,
right?
Or and you went to hell if you didn't,
right?
Or there was kind of nothing. There was no other game in town,
right?
And that just didn't feel right.
Right.
I didn't realize it at the time, but just internally, it just felt like, no, there's something else here.
Yeah. For sure. And that's, you know, I think that's the beauty of going to church for a lot of people, is that they may not agree with or may not kind of grok whatever's being said necessarily. Some people take it verbatim, but there is something that happens there. I mean, ideally there's a transmission that does happen there for people. Hmm. And that's
when you say transmission, what does that mean?
There's something that gets to be transmitted through the people that are preaching, that they're like the bridge. That in church, the way that it's set up is they're the bridge. Like they're the people that are kind of the bridge.
If you want an experience of the divine, comes
they're
through
the antenna. You go to that. You go to a place where you're closest to the antenna, right? And this isn't always true, but with many, many churches, I think this is what's true. It's like, you don't have it. You got to go someplace to get it. And you got to go to somebody who's been ordained to give it. So, and then the transmission comes through them.
Right.
Or through whatever they're preaching.
They don't empower you to have your own direct expression direct experience of.
Yeah.
Of the divine.
I think that that's really, really common. And that's common in a lot of religions. I'll just say a lot of churches. And that's also common in a lot of the alternative stuff too. So for example, you go to a psychic because you're not psychic. You don't know. So you go to one who knows. And there's some merit in that, like if an astrologer, like somebody who studied the stars or, you know, like that kind of studied whatever that is.
Their acting career didn't work out. So now they're an astrologer.
Well, they've spent some more time in that arena. So you go to them because maybe you haven't spent so much time in that arena. So it started, I think, in earnest, but I think it's become, it's become trouble. Like it's actually become a source of trouble, and partly because, it puts the person directly in a place of, disconnect and lack. What's happening over here with this, with Turd is the,
it's the Turd. Name. It's Turd.
Say it again.
Turd.
Are you sure that's how you say it?
He might be Dutch.
Can you Google translate in just, Scottish real quick how to say his name? I like to say people's names exactly how they say it.
It sounds like turd.
It sounds like turd?
Yeah, just go for
okay,
it.
Okay. So it might be like third or something in his language.
Could be turd.
The thing that I wanted to say is you know, in his case, it makes a lot of sense that he doesn't want to go back to sort of the where he started,
sure.
Like back to the maybe the particular church.
Well, I think for a lot of folks, like it feels like they have to give something up to go back. So if I've embraced rational thinking, I've embraced the scientific method, and now I'm going to go back to a belief system that is built on mythology or tales that have been told and they're told to be true, let's say, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. By large, they are myths. Mm-hmm. I have to suspend a part of myself in order to do that.
Yeah.
I have to suspend that rational, critical thinking skill mm-hmm. in order to have access to that. And that was true for me. Like, it was just like, mm-hmm. I want to be all of me.
Yeah.
In a spiritual life, mm-hmm. not, okay, well, I have to leave right. my critical thinking and right. my rational thinking yeah. at the door.
Totally.
I want to be able to integrate that.
For sure. For sure. And so, I mean, the short answer is like, just have this dude call me.
Well, no, because then totally you sound like a cult that. Leader. So what do
no,
you, what,
no,
well,
no.
why would
That's
he call
not
you?
Not why I would. That, no, that's not. Why would I sound like a cult leader?
Just call me like, and I'll show you God.
Okay, I see.
$1,000 a month.
No. I mean, the reason that I said just have him call me is, you know, I love what you brought up around, like, we think we have to leave a part of ourselves behind. Like, you talked about scientific versus rational. Well, you know, I've worked with a lot of people in this way, but there's somebody that's comes to mind right now who is incredibly rooted in science and, you know, the sort of analytical way of doing things. And in some cases that gets in their way. And in other, well, one of the ways that I've been working with them is really inviting them to allow that aspect of themselves right there with whatever it is they're searching mm-hmm. to engage with. Mm-hmm. So as a form of discernment, mm-hmm. this person is also really afraid of like getting sucked into some sort of like
right.
culty thing or whatever, or like false guru, you know, false prophet as they say. And that's real. There's plenty of those out there. And so I think that bringing all of you right here, right now into the room to, as you begin to re-engage the, what I would say, just for lack of a better way of saying it, the unseen, right? Mm-hmm. Unseen, maybe source of mm-hmm. goodness for, let's like try to keep it simple here, or great mystery might be another simple way of saying it. Like as you engage in the great mystery or unseen source of goodness, go ahead and bring that. Bring your scientific brain. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you're probably going to wrestle with yourself a lot when you do, because that scientific brain also is married to the material. And so you are going to be like, well, can't see it, can't prove it, can't blah, blah, blah. Like there will be that gets in your way. And I think that why I said have him see me is because I feel like I'm in a position, because of my background in therapy, I can help with those moments where you're wrestling with yourself. You're kind of getting in your own way. But it's really like it's causing more suffering and pain for you, because all you're trying to do is see what's there, is reconnect in a bigger way, reconnect with your larger self, your greater consciousness, with the greater mystery of things, and feel that connection. And so a lot of people kind of get hung. There's like, it's such a complex issue. Like, yeah, you're not going to go back to the church, and yeah, you're not going to do the woo-woo stuff, because you do have this sort of analytical, critical thinking.
I've got kind a bullshit of, meter.
And also material, like show me the money. Like where's the actual proof? Am I making this up, basically, is what gets said if we distilled that material piece. So there's a lot of that gets layered in that can slow the process down. And so I think what is valuable here is to help a person first come back to themselves and like, what's just even happening for you? What is it you're missing? What is it you're wanting? What is it you're a no to from, like, what has you not going back here or over there? Mm-hmm. And then in just practicing being in relationship, even if it's like super baby steps, but being in relationship with what feels really sort of capital T true for them. Mm-hmm. Because I think that there are truths, like, you know, sort of like what's good, true, and beautiful, like through and through, perennially speaking. Like it doesn't go away, no matter where in the world you are. There are things that are just true. And that can be certain experiences with that you can't describe, that have you filled with a sense of awe or a sense of greater connection or a sense of oneness. That could have you, there could be experiences that feel like miracles, you know, or like blessings in your life. That could feel like the maybe just the experience of wonder. That I mean, I personally feel it a lot just in nature. I love nature because I am kind of in a constant state of wonder. And wonder, I think, is rare in a scientific, materialistic world. And so, to me, that's an entry point. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, let's just hang out here. Let's just come over here. And so for people that are really like, I don't know where to go and I don't know who to talk to, well, find somebody to talk to about it that's not going to put their judgments or their views onto you, because that's what's not working for Turd.
Yeah, right.
Is that there's something going on that he doesn't want to go back to because it didn't work. Those views don't work. He's got to give up part of himself, or he doesn't agree with those views. And in many cases... Well, I'll pause there.
I think the thing you're underlining here is there's an opportunity for him to find his own path.
Yeah.
Instead of be indoctrinated into a way of doing something, and this is the path, this is the way. And that for me, that always feels like, oh, I'm going to get manipulated and controlled here. But what you're underlining here is that is fostering a direct experience,
yes,
of whatever source or the mystery is for you, using awe, using wonder, beauty, etc., as indicators that those are trailheads or those are places to allow yourself to go. And I think that that's incredibly empowering, because for a lot of us, we are looking for the way, like a way to lead through life. And I think that there's a trap there for some of us, which is, if I find the way, then I won't have to deal with X anymore.
Right.
There's a belief that maybe money and status and relationship didn't solve this problem, so spirit will. Mm-hmm. And that was true for me. Mm-hmm. And okay, well, if I just do the spiritual practice, then I won't have to deal with these unpleasant emotions or these realities of life. And that was certainly not the case. Like, having a spiritual practice meant that I got to really experience them.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually the yeah. Yes. Right.
But I think that could be a trap, which is I'm looking for an escape. I'm looking for a way out. Mm-hmm. And what you're offering here is, or encouraging, I should say, is, hey, you know, figure out what works for you. Where do you feel more of this experience or more of this connection?
That is what I'm saying. And what happens, like what really happens on the ground, like in many, or I should say what really happens in my office, if I'm seeing people in this, is that's the theme or the topic that we're working with. But really it comes into like, we're fucking unpacking. Like, we are unpacking what, even just down to the words and definitions that people grew up with that work for them and don't work for them, where, what words even open them versus what words tend to have them contract. Mm-hmm. So it's really learning. For me, I like to really learn, what is this person in front of me? It's going to be very different for the next person in front of me. But this person in front of me, what's their unique orientation, mm-hmm, towards what opens them? And so that's one thing. And that doesn't, that might be it, like, yes, that could fall under the theme of what works for you individually, for sure. But that might also include an actual practice, structured spiritual practice. Mm-hmm. And that's because of the, what you said in the beginning, I want to just reiterate, like, we're not trying to poo-poo, you know, 1,000-year-old spiritual practices or religious, you know, structures and systems that work for people, because the only other thing I'll say about that is that it feels important because it is nuanced. Spiritual practices or the way things are done in a, you know, the way routines are, you know, structured, things are structured in religious settings, they're for a reason. That doesn't work for a lot of people. And people sometimes get really locked into the thing, the structure, or mm-hmm, the actual ritual itself.
It's like a checklist of things to do and how to act.
Exactly. Or the sacrament, right? Like the rosary bead or the peace pipe, or the, like, there's something, you know, like there are sacraments that are used, mm-hmm, and those are used for a reason. Those, it's actually meant to provide some sort of framework for, it's actually at its base, at its, like, if it's in its most purest form, it's meant to help you access,
right,
you on your own, access a connection with something greater than you. Mm-hmm. I think people get hung up on the sacrament or on the framework or on the steps of the ritual or whatever.
They lose the plot.
And, but theoretically, I think in this purest form, like, you engage in a practice, and then what comes through the practice is what the practice is for. It's right. Not because of the practice itself.
Did I do the practice correctly and follow the list?
All that's not.
Versus, yeah, am I having a greater experience?
That's right.
Of,
yeah,
the
it's just like, or sacraments. Like, they're just sacraments. It's just it just happens to be a thing that has helped people in the past.
Right.
You know, and that's a real reductionistic way of saying it. But I do want to say that, because I do think that it gets lost all the time.
Yeah. Buddhists are great at that. But I don't know. You probably don't remember. There was one of the latest Star Wars movies where the Jedi, like, hideout, where all the sacred texts were housed. Mm-hmm. And Luke Skywalker was, like, protecting that.
Yeah.
And ended up getting burned down.
Right. That's,
and he,
right,
was, like, on his knees, like, grieving, and Yoda shows up, and he basically, like, dude, fuck it.
Yeah. They're just books.
Yeah. Like, right. Yeah. Like, you're missing the point.
You're missing it. Yeah. So that was a good scene. Yeah.
So the steps are there, or the structures that are there to serve us.
That's right.
But they can only point towards what we're ultimately here to do. That's not the point.
Yeah.
It's what those texts and what the sacraments are pointing us towards that will help us have access to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so yes, it is highly individualistic, like, in that, like, it's what works for them. And there are plenty of tools, shall we say, that might be supportive to any given person that may or may not work for them. And it's a lot of trial and error. I mean, and my thing that I really love to invite people into is like, consider you're on kind of like it's a crumb trail. Like you might meander over here and then you might wind up over there, but you're simply following where there's resonance, a deep internal resonance for you.
Which is different than just tell me what to do. I just want to know, right. Just give me the way.
That's
just give me the
very different. Yeah. So that comes back to the one who knows and the one who doesn't know. I get a ton of people that are like, oh, tell me or show me or read me or whatever. And it's like, yeah, okay. But no, that actually goes deeply against my value system because it's that contributes to the disconnection.
I think that's really important here because if I'm in this place and I want to foster more of a connection with the unseen, as you say, there are essentially what Turd is discussing is that he's saying, I'm tired of the, like, this is the way, like people pointing, like, essentially like forcing, that's not right. forcing me, but essentially saying, look, if here's this path and then you got to kind of walk this path and but he doesn't see the opportunity to forge his own path or really how to do that. And do that with clarity, structure, discipline, awareness, all of those things. And that's what you're saying, that's an opportunity for him.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think that could be really liberating and freeing to know that I can do this in an autonomous way. Let's say agency. Like I can have my own agency and move towards this in a self-directed way. Like as you say, following that resonance and what's true for me.
Yeah. I mean, and from my perspective, most people like having help and most people also really like having fellowship here. Like they want to talk to people about this and they don't. And so even just starting with one person to talk about with this can be really like a place of solace, frankly. Yeah. And so when we talk about autonomy, I think the thing that I want to highlight is when people get, come from a place that like no longer a sort of orientation that no longer works for them. A lot of times there is an element of, like I said, unpacking and kind of reevaluating whatever messages or constructs they swallowed whole without even thinking about it. So there is kind of they regurgitate whatever's there and like really look at it and pick it apart. And I think for other people, that whole process, it actually is the process of shedding whatever they were kind of programmed with and coming back to themselves.
Yeah.
And that practice,
old stuff kind of eclipses our ability to connect.
Yeah, it can. It really can. And it also can get in the way, like our fears of falling back into something like that is part of like the jumble of not, it hasn't been kind of unpacked.
Well, I might
for
be
them.
Betrayed again. I might feel disappointed again.
Absolutely.
I might feel let down. I might get hurt. I might, there's all
that's
of that.
Right.
Just if I were to open myself up to this path again.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Speaking from experience.
I was just going to actually say, this is a really great opportunity for you to speak a little bit about you. Roll your eyes. Who's the turd now?
What would you want to know? What would you want me to share?
Well, I think that.
Well, the first thing I want to share is that you and I have very different views and expressions of our spiritual life, but nonetheless, we find common ground just in the respect that we both have a spiritual life. And I think that's important.
Absolutely.
And it's kind of, we walk that in our own home.
For sure.
You know, it's very different. We're very different in our ways of doing it.
Mm-hmm. You can make a joke now.
Nope. Not going to make a
you
joke.
You want to. I can tell.
Not going
to
make a joke.
There's a twinkle in your eye.
Not going to do it.
As you look at the medicine wheel. And the altars.
I think I've matured there eventually.
It's an active process, right? No, but you're right. It's really important to name that we have been together for decades now and and we have very different ways through it, with to it, and around, you know, with it, and yet it's okay. Like yeah. one doesn't have to be the way
right
over the other.
Yeah, I think it's like two paths to a very similar place. It's not that we go Absolutely. To very different places, but we find a very similar place. And you have a different way of getting there or accessing that than I do. But
yeah.
Whatever gets you there.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Lots of different paths, same mountain. The thing that I wanted to open up, it's an opportunity if you wanted to, cause it does, I think there is something here potentially that isn't being said in this email that was sent, you know, this inquiry from Turd.
Right.
Turd. Is this place where a person might deeply really want this or even know that this is part of their wholeness on some deep level. This is part of what will give them their experience of their own wholeness. And yet there can be a fear, like when it does come to relating, being in relationship with that thing, the unseen, the great mystery, there can be a real big fear around what if it's not there? What if it is there? What if it's not there? What if me down? What if, you know, so what would you...
Well, I could speak about this. Like, you know, I've gone through phases in my spiritual life where I was staunchly against anything spiritual or unseen. I lived in that flat land. I'm going to borrow a lot of Ken Wilber's language here because he's great at talking about this, and kind of lived in that world that could only be seen and touched and measured. But nonetheless, I had a really rich interior world. I was an artist, I was a musician, and it was just like there was so much going on internally. And then also just recognize that I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know how to articulate it at the time, but I was also a very spiritual person. I'd had I remember one experience in particular. I was diving on a reef one time, and it just was just like this, like kind of Satori, to use that, you know, to point in that direction.
Can you define it briefly, just as best you can, for people that have never ever heard that word
before? I just had a moment of realization. It's so hard to describe. I hate trying to find words, but it was a deep experience of oneness and everything being alive and being part of that, mm-hmm. not just an observer. Mm-hmm. And
so the scientific clinical term for that is a mystical experience.
I had a mystical experience. But that didn't seem like so out in left field. It kind of felt like it was always in the mist somehow. Mm-hmm. And that was just more of a merging or joining with it. And then I very much struggled with having a spiritual life into my 20s. And that was largely because I lived in that duality of, you know, you lived in the mythologies, and you couldn't be a critical thinker or a rational thinker if you were a spiritual person. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, I felt deeply alone and cut off and limited and like, this just can't be it. Mm-hmm. It was like eating gruel all the time. I was like, this just can't be it. And I come back to Ken Wilber again. Like I read one of his books, A Marriage, A Sense of Soul. And at the end of that book, he essentially kind of knitted together how science at its core is seeking the truth. And that spirituality, true spirituality, is seeking the truth.
Yes.
And that you could start to jettison what is false and like what's just wanting to propel myths, and then what is actually seeking those, the truth and of experience there. And that that spoke to me.
Yeah.
And I had another amazing experience. Like, I think I was up all night after I read that book. I was just like, holy shit, I couldn't sleep. And it was like everything, it was like I was allowed to be all of me.
Yes.
So then that put me on this path. And he talks about the three faces of God, which is the I. So there's a divine and I. And then there's the divine in it. So I've already described that experience of being out in the world of things, mm-hmm. and recognizing it in nature and that kind of stuff. But the one I struggled with was the thou, was the relationship with. So if I were to, like, the idea of praying was very foreign to me. Mm-hmm. And I struggled with that one for another many years. And it was very easy for me to understand kind of the divinity that was coming through us and as us, you know, as someone that experienced that in coaching moments or in.
So that you were able to experience the I.
Yep. I was able to have experiences of the I and the it aspect of God, mm-hmm. let's say. Mm-hmm. Divinity, the source, the mystery. But this idea of relating, I was missing that one and really yeah. missing it. And struggling with yeah. it, really struggling.
Which most people do.
Right. And just this idea of talking to someone in a
relational in a back and forth.
Right. Just was like, that's fucking bullshit. You know, mm-hmm. it's just like there's
sure.
And a big fear of it was that I had a lot of garbage from
yeah.
the structures of our culture, mm-hmm. which was, this was a savior. Or it was the one that would condemn me. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the idea of it being someone that was there to answer my wish list and help me win the lottery or, you know, lose 10 pounds or something. And it just seemed, I think ultimately I didn't want to be let down again. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I'd gone through a period of like, oh, spirituality is going to be the path of exoneration for me. If I do spirituality right, I'm set for life kind mm-hmm. of a thing. Mm-hmm. And I went through a big upheaval realizing that was just another bullshit mm-hmm. path. That's a whole other mm-hmm. conversation. But through a series of events, and I don't actually want to get into that, but I did find myself being able to relate with this source, this unseen aspect. And doing that has like been a massive chunk of wholeness that I've been able to reclaim for my like just it's like God, and it was always there. I just had to turn to it and allow it. Yes. It was nothing to achieve. It was nothing to strive for. It was just like whenever I was ready for it.
Yes.
It was right there.
Yes.
And so it was a really.
Remembrance.
Yeah. And also I will say that to this day, it still feels tenuous. The critical, rational thinker in my brain is like, what the fuck is this shit? And that to me, like that's the aspect of wholeness where all of those get to be in the room. Nobody's mm-hmm. shut out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I have this experience of a divine presence in my life that I can relate to and relate with. I don't treat that person as my hero or my someone who's going to answer all of my wishes and make everything go great, or they're going to betray me and my life's going to, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. They did something wrong to me, mm-hmm. but I do relate with that entity or that
energy
yeah. as a guide, as kind of a guidepost. Mm-hmm. And that's really helpful for me. My life is much better having that, even if I struggle to understand it. And yeah. I'm okay to have that confusion. And I'm okay to live in a world where my rational, critical thinking mind is just like, this is fucking crazy. This is your brain chemicals doing X, Y, and Z, and you're fooling yourself mm-hmm. and you're living in a delusion. It's okay mm-hmm. for those things to be true. For whatever it is, I think there's this kind of like what's real, in real in quotes, right? So real is limited to the rational part of the brain of what can be touched, sensed, right? Measured.
Right.
Like the objective material world, right? Yeah. So if it doesn't fit into that criteria, then it's not quote real.
Right.
And so if it's an intersubjective or a purely subjective experience, it's a lot harder to like, well, what's going on here? Sure. And for me, the desire to invalidate it is from fear.
Yes, like I think that's really important. That's you say that kind of flippantly, but that's actually a really important
right.
awareness to have.
And I'd rather live in a world where I can have both. I want to live in a world where I can have both, where I can take a psychedelic, let's say, and have a mystical experience. Know that it was because I took a psychedelic, but that it can also be that I was opened up to a realization that I wouldn't have had otherwise, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. I wouldn't have had without fucking shit tons of meditation or something. So I'm okay to live in that both and world mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. my brain can fire and do crazy things. And then also I can have a mystical experience that can be incredibly valuable and informative. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't negate, one doesn't negate the other.
Right. Yeah.
And
exactly.
It gives me solace to know that I can live in that both and. What I don't like is feeling limited, either by a path that says this is the way, this is how you have to do things, and you do things our way or you go to hell, that kind of a thing. But also there's a religion of this rational mind too. There's kind of a rigidity of that rational mind, which just says, nope, the only things that are real are X, Y, and Z that can be touched and measured. And both of those feel incredibly limiting to me.
So how is your relationship still tenuous, given, because you said it's still tenuous because of these aspects of yourself that sometimes are in dissonance with each other?
Well, it's a practice. So I think I'm just learning. I'm learning how to be in relationship with this and learning what works and what doesn't, or it's just, it's not like poof, this showed up and it grounded itself in my life and it. There's a part of me that's like, will I still feel it in a year? Will I still feel it? And as I say that, I can feel like in a grounded way, like, yes. And I don't know. And I'm okay with living in a lot more of that. I don't know of things like this is, yeah, at this phase of my life, it is present and it is true for me. And if I've learned anything through my life is how much things change over time.
Yeah, for sure.
If these interviews are helping you, please leave a positive review on whatever podcast app you use so that others can discover the show more easily.